Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball today from 9 to 11 like we do every Saturday morning, talking about a morale victory for the Cubs in Minnesota and a crossroads moment at 35th and Shields for the White Sox. Bruce, good morning.
Morning, David. Yeah, it's a interesting week that just transpired for both Chicago teams. I think looking at the Chicago White Sox on May the 13th, after a team meeting yesterday, there is a lot of things to be concerned about on the south side. I know this is not breaking news for anybody at this point, but you know, don't you, David, expect each day to change to the point where, okay, they had won 6 out of 9, it looked like they were starting to turn a corner, and then all of a sudden you've lost 4 out of 5, including 3 out of 4 to Kansas City, and you're saying nothing has changed here?
Well, they lost last night 5-1, and for people who weren't able to stay up late because the game started so late due to the rain, the Astros beat the White Sox 5-1. The Cubs beat the Twins 6-2 in Minnesota. But, Bruce, you're exactly right. I mean, at this point of the season, they're 13-27, and the only thing they have going for them that is they play in the AL Central. And you have a first-place team that would be in the last place of the AL East standings if they were to be transposed. The White Sox have nothing going for them right now. They had a team meeting to discuss all the nothingness, I'm sure. You're 13-27. I don't know what direction you're going, but it's not the right one. So to me, big picture, as we discuss it here, and maybe people have an opinion, 312-644-6767, the White Sox have to determine whether or not they're closer to rebuilding or contending, and I think it's an easy answer. The only question now is, how do you approach that?
I don't know if it's an easy answer yet. I'm with you on the fact that we're approaching one of those benchmarks, okay, in the baseball season. Believe it or not, today at some point we are at the one-quarter pole in the Major League Baseball season, and that's happened awfully quick as far as I'm concerned. May the 30th or Memorial Day is that first benchmark, David. Is that too early? We're asking you at 312-644-6767. Is that too early for the White Sox brass to start talking to other teams about moves and moving people that might not be a part of the team moving forward from 2023 on. Again, 312-644-6767. David, are you a run differential guy or not?
I think it's misleading, Bruce. I think it, like every statistic, like every metric, you have to take it into the context of what your team is and what your team isn't. So there are days and times where it applies, and there are days and seasons where it's misleading. So I because you have games that are aberrations, you know, that you have the occasional blowout, and right. Or you have, in the case of the Cubs, a lot of one-run losses over a stretch. So I think it can be somewhat misleading, but it's something that you can't ignore either.
Well, why in the case of the White Sox, the American League has only five teams right now that are a minus run differential, okay? The other league has nine. And the White Sox are the second worst team in run differential in baseball, and only to the Oakland A's, who are really not a Major League Baseball team. So with that in mind, four of the five teams with run differential negatives are in the White Sox division. Does that give you hope that that division is still winnable? We're not talking about another team even remotely a quarter of the way through the season,
Bruce,
David. There's no one in the American League outside of the American League East that's going to be having playoff teams other than the division winners. Can the White Sox beat the Twins or the Indians, likely the Twins, in that division? That's the only question I think that Han and Kenny Williams have to answer.
There are more questions than that, Bruce. Bruce, I respect your research, and you know I respect your insight. But to me, the problems of the White Sox aren't found in a computer, more like a stethoscope. What's the heartbeat of this team? They look like they are lethargic and listless. They look like they can't understand what urgency feels like or is. They have their manager calling them out. This team has numbers that you can use to support what they're not doing, but they came into this season promising to be different in terms of the approach, day in, day out. Don't you remember that press conference? Wasn't that cool when Pedro Grifol said they were going to, every night at 7:10, we're going to kick some ass? Oh, boy. Ooh, Pedro cussed. Well, you know what? That's not who this team is. They don't play like that. There's no urgency there. Before we get to the numbers, I think we got to find out more than that. Look deeper than that, Bruce.
It's good points, David. Look, I got, you know, talked to by people about getting the first question to Pedro and asking him, you know, instead of welcoming him, I asked him, this team is known for not hustling. What would you be doing with a team that has guys who have been told and are listening to the fact that they don't know when to run or when not to run due to injuries from that team? I got chastised, and I think it was, in retrospect, the wrong question asked first out of the chute, but it was my thought process at the time, David, that this team had quit on itself and was not always hustling, and that was the reason I asked that question first. Right now, I'm not detecting that they're not hustling. I'm just detecting that the heartbeat is hard to find.
I would agree with that, Bruce, and let's set up the rest of the show. We'll get to your callers who have a lot of thoughts on what we just discussed, opening things up here on Inside the Clubhouse. So at 10 o'clock, we plan to talk to Drew Smyly, last night's winning pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, another efficient effort to move to 4-1. He'll join us at 10. Dusty Baker, the manager of the Astros, World Series winning manager, future Hall of Famer, he plans to join us at 10:30. It was a late night. We hope that we can still connect with Dusty, but those are the plans in the second hour. The first hour, we're going to talk about the state of the Cubs and the White Sox. The Cubs now two victories in a row after a really interesting week with the Cardinals coming to town and then them going to Minnesota. Christopher Morel coming up, Matt Mervis contributing. That was an interesting night, Friday night in the Twin Cities. But, Bruce, I think the most of the conversation, at least early on, is about the White Sox because they're in town. Jose Abreu had his nice little reunion, pregame press conference and video tribute, and they remain in the state of disarray. 13-27, where do you go from here? A lot of people want to weigh in. Bruce, do you want to get to the phone lines?
Absolutely, David. This is their show.
Let's get to the phone lines. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's start the conversation with a good friend, Mike in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas, and happy Mother's Day. And I want to just make an observation with Davis Martin, who I think now is the kind of a metaphor for the White Sox season. Here's a guy who came up last year unheralded. He really wasn't that good, although Rick Hahn made him out to be the second coming of Sandy Koufax. He gave us innings. He's our only credible minor league pitcher who called for the majors, and he's out with a bum arm. In the meantime, Pedro Grifol is burning out the bullpen at a rate that will kill it off by June 1st. Kopech can't go five innings. Cease can barely go five innings. We all knew that we needed more starting pitching in the winter. We have none. And we're looking for a rest of the season where we're running out of relief pitchers, our starters can't go, and we have nobody in the minors. Zero, nada, unless you want to dig down to Class A, who can fill that spot. Bruce, give me some hope here. Where do we go?
Thanks, Mike. Bruce, what do you
think? Well, I think there's always hope. I have gone up and back with this rotation, and Mike makes a good point. Watching Lance Lynn filling up the strike zone and the ball not moving very much with his three different fastballs that he throws, and watching what appears to be Dylan Cease, who, you know, we haven't heard a word about health, doesn't look healthy to me out there. Again, filling up the strike zone, not the crispness on his pitches. I've been going up and back, David, on the idea of, does this rotation still possibly have a fix in it? Okay, can those guys get fixed? We know Giolito's been pitching extremely well as of late. Clevinger has pitched well. I would say that, yesterday we saw a pitcher
take a no-hitter
into the fifth inning, right? But no one really related to it, right?
I think you have to say that because there's no other options. That's kind of Mike's point, is that you have to write out the Lance Lynn season, the saga, if you will, because you have to. You don't really have other alternatives. It's not like you have a farm system supplying you with options or prospects,
right?
Because let's be honest about it. I know they're different pitchers, but they and maybe with, you know, slightly different pedigrees. But a year ago, after eight starts, Dallas Keuchel had a 7.5 or so ERA, and they DFA'd him. This year, after eight starts, Lance Lynn's ERA is very similar to Dallas Keuchel's. They're not going to DFA him because they can't. They don't have any options, Bruce, and I think that's what he's getting at, is that where is the reason for hope in the future, and that's where you are as an organization.
The stopper is missing, okay, David? Lynn and Cease were the stoppers on this staff, okay? They were the ones there when there was a losing streak or something wasn't going right to throw a dominant game. You know, as we remember, Lynn was out until June last year recovering from knee situations, and then he came back and he was really good. Cease, as we know, was one of the top pitchers in baseball for the entire year. Those stoppers, you know, are so huge for a team that has been run production challenged like the Chicago White Sox. So even the good games that they've played, they haven't won because run production has been so difficult. And the stopper, the pitcher who stops those losing streaks, just isn't there. We look at Giolito, who's pitched really well lately. You know, he might be that again. He was certainly that for the staff 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Again, I hung my hat on the fact that the White Sox had the good possibility of having a very good starting pitching staff. I'm not as sure now as I was a week or 10 days ago that would be a possibility.
Dylan Cease back on the mound tonight for the White Sox against Brandon Belak for the Astros, and get a chance to kind of get things right for him. He's not been good, and he comes into start having to do something to change the narrative to get back in the win column, because, Bruce, this team is at a crossroads, and that was the context of yesterday as they return home for a series against the Astros after losing 3 out of 4 to the Royals, for God's sake. And here they are at the home clubhouse. And after the media had their access opportunities and that was finished, they had a meeting, and Pedro Grifol was asked about that meeting, and this is what he had to say.
We talked about it. I mean, the thing is that I'm not going to sit here and talk about the things that we do and the conversations we have in private. The one thing I can tell you is that we address things. But I mean, what happens in there stays in there. I mean, I'm not gonna elaborate too much on it. But rest assured that we address things, you know, as they come up and as we feel like they need to be addressed.
Bruce, the day after Pedro Grifol publicly questioned the sense of urgency his players exhibited in Kansas City, they have a closed doors meeting, and everyone can guess what the subject matter was. I still think he's a little, for a guy who came to town promising to communicate, I still think that there are times when, at least publicly, Pedro Grifol struggles to communicate.
It's a really tough situation for him, David, isn't it? I mean, look, you come in here, it's all, hey, you got the hammer, you're the guy. They probably gave him a 3-year contract. And you're replacing somebody that was not popular, that was sick, that wasn't able to do the job very well last year. That was the focal point for why the team did poorly, other than the obvious injuries to this team. And now you're dealing with a team meeting, you know, and it's not Memorial Day yet, and you have the third worst record in baseball. It's a tough situation for him. How do you keep here's the question I have for you, David. How do you keep the clubhouse and keep the sanctity of them trusting him, and then elaborate to the Chicago media what transpired in that meeting? How do you do both? Okay,
I think you got to pick a lane. Who are you? Who are you as a manager? And what are you going to exhibit as a leader? It's about leadership, Bruce. What's your style going to be? And I think that you're trying to be one thing publicly, and if you're another thing privately, you're going to come off as disingenuous. And you can't do that as a manager, as a coach, in any sport, in any profession. So be who you are. And all I'm saying is that, Bruce, and I know it's a difficult balance to strike. I'm not dismissing or diminishing that. But I think when he came to town early on, it was, this is the guy who is going to, he's not going to take anything from anybody. He's going to be quietly but firmly the boss. And I just don't know if we've seen that consistently enough.
So here's what I said last year, and I think it still applies. In our era covering sports, talking about sports, talking to sports fans like we do here on The Score every day on all the sports, the last people that seem to be accountable are the players. Okay? And these are basically the same players from last year that were hurt. They are hurt. They were hurt again. Moncada's back. Hopefully they're getting Hendricks back. They're getting Crochet back. That'll be a huge boost to this team, both from a morale point as well as the what they bring to the ballpark every day. But talking to a few players yesterday, one in particular, I said it's still early, and you guys have good players in here. And the players said to me, that's what they tell us, okay? So what he is saying, what he said to me was, we're still waiting for guys to start to show up, okay? They're not showing up, okay? They're not playing up to their level. They didn't last year. They haven't this year. Again, Anderson was out for a while. That was a big deal. Hendricks being out is a big deal, okay? But the reality is this is supposed to be a competitive team for a championship.
They're not competitive. And they're not fundamentally sound. Right, they're not doing anything right. So, they're not doing anything well. What do they do right? What do they do well? That's coaching. That's discipline.
Yeah. So when we look at Grifol or we look at LaRussa, I think we're looking in the wrong place.
Okay, let's look higher, and we'll keep on going. Where's Rick Hahn yesterday? Why didn't he address the media? Where's the State of the Sox address for the first game of the homestand? Where's he hiding? What about this accountability I hear a rumor about? Where's that? Let's go back to the phone lines. Bring in Ron, who is a loyal Sox fan. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, good morning. To answer the question, everything the caller said and you all said answers the question. That no, it's not too soon to give up on this team. And this team is playing actually worse than they were last year. They can't win at home. You all talked about the pitching, but look at the offensive numbers. There are too many deficiencies. If you had, you know, no team is perfect. So if they would, you know, had a couple of deficiencies, say, well, this guy's coming back. But that's not going to happen. And for people who point out about what Philadelphia did last year and what Washington did a few years ago, those are aberrations. Most teams that and you know what, guys, it's not just their record. This is a bad team. I watched this team, and sometimes you can watch a team and say, yeah, you know, it's a possibility. There is no possibility that this team will get to 500 and they will not win a division. So I don't know what Rick Hahn's plan is. And lastly, when the team – remember the statement he made, guys? The team cannot accept – the organization cannot accept mediocrity. Well, now the team is bad. It's not even mediocre. It's a bad team. So,
thanks, Ron. Appreciate the phone call. Mediocrity, that would be an improvement, Bruce. Let's talk about the Cubs. Christopher Morel has been good for morale. We'll talk about his impact next on Inside the Club.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Same game. So anything changed or... Same, it's a, I can say, like, the pitcher here, they got more experience. But the more experience you got, I need to take my pitch. If I see the pitch in the right and so on, I need to make this adjustment and get good contact. If it's not in the zone, I need to take it. So it's the same baseball, just different stadiums.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock today. Drew Smyly at 10 o'clock, Dusty Baker 10:30. That was Christopher Morel. After last night, he did it again, Bruce. Everybody is happier when Christopher Morel is playing, except for the opposing pitcher. He's been dominant since he came up. 6 hits in 13 at-bats this week. 2 home runs, 5 runs batted in, and a stolen base. Last night's homer, 429 feet, Bruce, plays with a verve and an energy that the Cubs feel like is contagious. They've got to keep him here. They've got to keep him up, right?
Well, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. Look, he didn't make the team out of spring training. That was surprising to a lot of people. But if you look at their offseason moves, David, it only made sense. He came up like a flash last May, was the energizer bunny for the Cubs for a couple of months, and then started to fade and swing at everything in sight. Went from about a 270 batting average in July to 235 by the end of the year. So he had to make some adjustments. Getting the veterans like Mancini, Hosmer, you know, Swanson, Bellinger, that gave them the opportunity to send him to AAA to start the year, go there and dominate was what they told him. We know you're a good ball player. We know you can play up here. Go down there and dominate. That's what he did. He dominated. He was the player of the month at AAA. hit 11 home runs there in the month, and he's continued that process here. I think the simplistic way that he described the game in his soundbite that we heard coming into our segment here, David, it embodies what he feels and how relaxed he is right now. Hey, it's just a different level, different stadium. I'm playing the same game. Yeah, the pitchers are tougher here. Yeah, the competition's greater for positions, but he is a talented player. And if he does what he said and he takes the pitches that he needs to take and has good strike zone discipline, the sky's the limit for this guy with his talent.
I also think it's an interesting lesson for a lot of young players because Christopher Morel really made a strong argument that he could have made the team out of spring training. A lot of guys, including Ron Coomer and other people around the team, felt like he had done enough to make the roster and to come to Chicago, and he didn't, but he took the demotion in stride. And not only did he take it in stride, but he didn't stop improving, and he took took the approach that he's going to make him impossible to keep in AAA, and now he seems like that's the case. Baseball has a funny way of taking care of these issues, Bruce, but with Nico Hoerner on the 10-day IL, certainly that will create opportunities for Morel. You wonder about what happens after that, but I think with this kind of versatility, you know there's going to be some kind of injury or maybe attrition. You don't have a big problem until you have to face it, and right now the Cubs don't have a big problem roster-wise or where to fit him. He's going to be impossible to keep out of the lineup, though, if he keeps hitting at this clip.
Right. Defensively, we don't know how good he is at any of those positions, okay?
That's it, yeah.
You know, he was a little clunky at second base last night, was responsible for one of those runs scoring that Minnesota had. Okay. In center field, didn't always get the right jumps. You know, we saw him last year out there. So when people talk about, hey, he's the next Ben Zobrist, you know, that's a real stretch. The reality is that he's a talented young player who is very athletic and should get better at positions. My question is always, are they doing him a disservice by making him play multiple positions because they have other positions already filled? Or can he really be good enough defensively at those other positions to fill the role? I mean, the National League at least has the luxury now of a DH. And you would hate to think that this multi-talented athletic player would end up being a DH, but right now, where would you put him if everybody's healthy?
Well, that's a good question, and that's the kind of thing will take care of itself, you think. But here's the one thing I hope they keep an open mind about. Seiya Suzuki in right field, I know, does a lot of little things well, and I don't know what he does best, Bruce. If Christopher Morel is sizzling hot at the time they have to make a decision, and Suzuki isn't, maybe there are times where he could play right field. I know that they're both right-handed hitters. I know you don't ideally want to do that, and all of that's invested in Suzuki, but when you look around the Cub lineup, depending on who's hot and who's not, that might be a spot where he could get some spot starts and for an everyday player who's not necessarily doing anything in an outstanding way.
Yeah, and at some point, do you visit the Patrick Wisdom situation, even though it's a great story and he's still very productive, having a good year? Do you say, well, would we be better off with Morel at third and Wisdom moving around and DH and eventually being traded? I don't know how you look at that. I know, talking to people there, they don't think third base is the best position for Morel. They don't think that's his best position defensively. I'm not trying to push Patrick Wisdom out of the picture. I'm a big fan of him as a player and as an individual for what he's been able to do. But it's an interesting, and then if you're a
Cubs fan, because he's so fun to watch, Bruce. Isn't he fun to watch?
Yeah,
don't you love the face paint? Don't you love the eye black? The way he's got the stripes there. Isn't that cool? I mean, it looks like he could play cornerback, too. He's a great athlete, and he plays with that kind of energy. Don't you love it?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, he's an entertainer, and he's, you know, he's got a lot of Javi Baez in him, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's, you know, he is energized by the crowd. He's energized by the game. He can't wait to take his bat and touch the shin guard for the catcher, or
he's
give
a hugger.
High five to the umpire. Yeah,
he's a hugger.
Yeah, he's a.
Did he give you a hug this week?
He's a fun guy.
Did you get a hug? Did you get a hug from Morrell?
He gave me a half-hearted one, a side one. You know, one of those side
yeah.
hugs.
Yeah.
You know that.
I know.
Men and women have to give each other these days.
Politely.
Who invented
yes.
the side hug?
So, Drew Smiley, Bruce, talking about the Cub pitching now. He was efficient last night. 75 pitches, went six innings, and we'll talk to him at 10 o'clock because that was nice to see after a subpar effort the last time out, or he wasn't as in command as he had been this season, and he bounces back. And now the Cubs, this was a stat that caught my eye. They're tied for the league lead in quality starts with 20. And Drew Smiley had another one last night. This starting pitching rotation, we're talking about how the Sox has been disappointing. The Cubs has been outstanding.
Well, you said you're not a great believer in run differential. Guess who's the second best team in the National League in run differential? It's the Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
I mean, you wouldn't think it.
That shows
because
me.
Because they're not an offensive juggernaut, okay? They play a lot of close games. But the fact that the pitching staff has been so good at limiting, the fact that the runs, the fact that the defense has been so good, that they have limited the other team to so few runs, that's where they're at. They're right behind the Dodgers as far as run differential in the National League, which not a huge number. It's in the 50s, but you know, you look at Tampa leads all baseball with a run differential of 120. That's a rarity, you know, considering they've won 30 out of the first 40 games. It's an interesting way to look at the Cubs right now. And starting pitching, we talk about the White Sox not having it. The Cubs have had an abundance.
Smiley had a quality start last night to give the Cubs 20. Stroman and Steele, as Sean Sears points out, lead the league with quality starts with 7 apiece. And Hayden Wesneski goes today, and he has started to turn the corner a little bit for them as well. Meanwhile, Kyle Hendricks on the way. Kyle Hendricks not that far away. Bruce, right. You talk about a nice problem to have with Morrell. What do you do with this pitching rotation that has been very, very good, and the professor's going to come back after his sabbatical?
You continue to compete for the division is what you do. And you, if you have to go to a – would you consider a six-man rotation? Okay, I don't know. I mean, you don't want to inhibit Wesneski from continuing on in his path. You have Steele, who is – since last July, one of the top pitchers in all of baseball, you know, limiting teams to under 2 runs most of the time. It's a nice problem to have. I don't know if any of us envisioned, outside of Jed Hoyer and his people and David Ross and his coaches, envisioned the Cubs pitching being this good 25% through the season. I just don't know if anybody really looked at it that way.
I don't think they did, and I think Jameson Taillon is really the only starter that you look at and you think, well, you expected more, or maybe he's going to figure it out because the other guys have figured it out. And Kyle Hendricks, you know, had a 5-inning scoreless stint the last time he went on the mound for Iowa in a rehab start, and he came back to Chicago, tinkered with some things with Tommy Hotovy, had a bullpen session that Hayden Wesneski raved about, said it was the most professional one he'd ever seen, and then – you know what he has to offer. You know what you're getting with this rotation. That's why, Bruce, when you look at the Cubs as they embarked in this 9-game road trip and they started it the right way last night, they're 19-19, but it feels like they're better than that. It just looks like they're better than that. They're better than their record indicates to me.
I had an interesting conversation with Drew Smiley, who we'll have on as our guest at 10 o'clock on Inside the Clubhouse last week. And I'm going to have him relate some of that again, David, about being 500 in Major League Baseball right now and what that really what does that really mean? I'm thinking that 500 right now is the majority of teams in baseball outside of the American League East and a few division leaders. I think that's the game of baseball in 2023.
Wow. As Sean Sears points out again, Sean doing some crack research on this fly here, The Pythagorean Cubs record, one loss, is 24-14. That's a bigger indicator of exactly maybe how good they possibly can be. They're 19-19. They've lost a lot of one-run games, as we pointed out. So they're doing the little things right, Bruce. And I think from a big picture standpoint, you feel better about where they are because they're integrating young players, Mervis and Morel, and Miguel Amaya in the past week, along with veterans and free agents who are getting the job done. And it just feels like they're clicking on all cylinders, and all different players that they got from all different paths are coming through for them.
The Cubs have allowed 100 runs less than the White Sox. Actually, the White Sox have allowed 241. The Cubs have allowed 137. So if you want to be looking at some difference in pitching, there it is in run production. The Cubs don't score a heck of a lot more than the White Sox do. But what they do is run prevention is certainly there with the pitching and the defense.
Bruce, I would suggest that you use all that research that you have just graced us with the past 40 minutes or so, Lounging with Levine on the Marquee Sports Network. You got to bring that to the table. You got to bring that to the couch, lounging with some of those numbers.
You know what? I've been so bad on that show, they're starting to bring in other people to sit there with me throughout those segments. They're bringing in the other expert.
So, I still like lounging with you.
I don't know.
Anywhere.
It might be lounging with somebody else at some point pretty soon. But it's fun to be on the Marquee Network, and great people over there. They treat me like a king. They work their butts off, just like all the people at the Score. I'm a lucky guy to be working at those two places.
Lots more on the way. We're lucky to have a chance to talk to Drew. Thank you. Drew Smiley at 10 o'clock. Dusty Baker, 10:30. Stay right here. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
The biggest thing, really, that I observed and kind of took away from my time being his teammate was his dedication and love for the game, to the point where he put his body on the line day in, day out, go out and play through stuff that a lot of you guys didn't know about, play through stuff a lot of fans didn't know about. He wanted to play every single day.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. That was Lucas Giolito talking with fondness about former teammate Jose Abreu, a White Sox legend, returned to the South Side on Friday with the Houston Astros after signing a 3-year, $58 million contract in free agency. Bruce, Abreu not off to a start that he's happy with, certainly homerless in 142 at-bats, not what anybody expected, but I think that you said this before the show, and I think it's interesting. You can see parallels with, number one, the way that both Abreu and the White Sox have struggled. But number two, yesterday was just a reminder of what the Sox are missing when he left and what they've been unable to replace in terms of his the intangibles as much as anything.
Yeah, you know, the leadership thing is the most misinterpreted thing, I think, by myself and other people who watch sports than anything. Even though I've been covering sports in Chicago for 40 years, David, I'm still not quite sure if I have the finger on the pulse of what a leader is, because we see, you know, it goes from the extreme of the Adam Eatons of the world, who were always there to give us a soundbite and tell us what the team should do, and not necessarily as popular as some of the people in the clubhouse, to Jose Abreu that didn't say a heck of a lot unless he was really asked a question and was a leader by example, okay? I think having the finger on the pulse of that and how essential that is to how he's looked at by the other teammates, that was the essence of Jose Abreu. Not a verbal guy, not telling people all the time what to do, but leading by example, being there to welcome people, being there to talk to a teammate when it was necessary. You know, just a guy, most importantly, and I learned this a long time ago talking to Gary Matthews back in the late 80s when he was considered one of the great leaders in baseball, David. And And I said to him, he was injured at the time. I said, "Hey, this team needs a shot in the arm. Why can't you help get them going?" He said, "Dude, if I don't play, I can't say anything to anybody. Okay, if I'm not in the lineup, if I'm out, I'm no longer a leader. A leader has to be out there playing." Jose Abreu was the ultimate leader for that reason alone, David. He played all the games, okay? Every single one. When Jed Hoyer went to look at shortstops, and they were looking at the Correas, they were looking at the Seegers, and they were looking at the Swansons, they were not that sad to be outbid for those other players when they looked at Swanson, who had missed two games over the last 3 years, okay?
Knowing availability that this is the biggest
ability. Show up and be there. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And that's probably the most important saying in sports. You have to be there. Jose Abreu was that guy for the 9 years of his career. I don't think he missed more than 50 games in that time period.
Well put, Bruce. I think this, too. This week has been a good reminder for a lot of us and a good for the other end of the spectrum, I guess, for me especially. You know, I did not like it when Wilson Contreras left the Cubs. I wanted them to keep Wilson Contreras. When Jose Abreu left the White Sox and went to free agency, I think I understood that, but I still felt like if they had found a way to justify paying him, not necessarily $20 million per year, but keeping him, my point is emotionally you become attached to guys who I think play the game the right way. Contreras does. Abreu does, for reasons you just articulated well. But I think that from a baseball perspective, I wonder if the White Sox felt at all. They don't have much to feel good about this season. But did this, looking at his lack of production, justify them letting him go despite the value he may have brought in terms of leadership and intangibles and everything that we know? Does his lack of production, you know, make them right from a baseball perspective? Because maybe he is done, and maybe he won't produce at a level that justifies his contract.
Yeah, I mean, they're great points, David, really. When you look at Abreu, he had 15 homers last year. That's basically half the production that you were used to, okay? That gave them the idea that, look, Vaughn was out of position. We have to get better defensively. We can be the equal there with Vaughn, if not better, at first base, getting more production out of him. And Jose was not the run producer he was before. So are we going to put $20 million a year on that, even though we love the guy? That's when you have to say, well, how do front offices talk themselves into and out of a leader when they're not as productive as they used to be? Okay. And then how does it shake out? Does it become an economic thing that pushes you over the top? Well, he's still a great leader. He's still a good player, but he's not worth $20 million anymore. And then you run into the details later on of, well, who is the leader on the Chicago White Sox?
They're still looking, I think. But it's not worth $20 million a year. You're right. And I think at the end of this homecoming week in Chicago, Wilson Contreras earlier with the Cardinals and Jose Abreu this weekend with the Astros, I think you got to check yourself when you want to let your heart outshout your head. And sometimes maybe it isn't the wisest thing to become sentimentally attached, and as we do in sports. And that's easy to do, easy to say, hard to avoid and resist. We'll talk about it more, but we got a big second hour. We have Drew Smyly coming up at 10, Dusty Baker at 10:30. Keep it right here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
The biggest thing, really, that I observed and kind of took away from my time being his teammate was his dedication and love for the game, to the point where he put his body on the line day in, day out, go out and play through stuff that a lot of you guys didn't know about, play through stuff a lot of fans didn't know about. He wanted to play every single day.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, David Haugh, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. That was Lucas Giolito talking with fondness about former teammate Jose Abreu, a White Sox legend, returned to the South Side on Friday with the Houston Astros after signing a three-year, $58 million contract in free agency. Bruce, Abreu not off to a start that he's happy with, certainly homerless in 142 at-bats, not what anybody expected, but I think that you said this before the show, and I think it's interesting. You can see parallels with, number one, the way that both Abreu and the White Sox have struggled. But number two, yesterday was just a reminder of what the Sox are missing when he left, and what they've been unable to replace in terms of his the intangibles as much as anything.
Yeah, you know, the leadership thing is the most misinterpreted thing, I think, by myself and other people who watch sports than anything. Even though I've been covering sports in Chicago for 40 years, David, I'm still not quite sure if I have the finger on the pulse of what a leader is, because we see, you know, it goes from the extreme of the Adam Eatons of the world, who were always there to give us a soundbite and tell us what the team should do, and not necessarily as popular as some of the people in the clubhouse, to Jose Abreu, that didn't say a heck of a lot unless he was really asked a question and was a leader by example. Okay. I think having the finger on the pulse of that and how essential that is to how he's looked at by the other teammates, that was the essence of Jose Abreu. Not a verbal guy, not telling people all the time what to do, but leading by example, being there to welcome people, being there to talk to a teammate when it was necessary. You know, just a guy, most importantly, and I learned this a long time ago talking to Gary Matthews back in the late 80s when he was considered one of the great leaders in baseball, David. And I said to him, he was injured at the time, I said, hey, this team needs a shot in the arm. Why can't you help get them going? He said, dude, if I don't play, I can't say anything to anybody, okay? If I'm not in the lineup, if I'm out, I'm no longer a leader. A leader has to be out there playing. Jose Abreu was the ultimate leader for that reason alone, David. He played all the games, okay? Every single one. When Jed Hoyer went to look at shortstops, and they were looking at the Correas, they were looking at the Seegers, and they were looking at the Swansons, they were not that sad to be outbid for those other players when they looked at Swanson, who had missed two games over the last 3 years, okay? Knowing
availability
that
this is the biggest
ability. Show up and be there. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And that's probably the most important saying in sports. You have to be there. Jose Abreu was that guy for the 9 years of his career. I don't think he missed more than 50 games in that time period.
Well put, Bruce. I think this, too. This week has been a good reminder for a lot of us, and a good, for the other end of the spectrum, I guess, for me especially. You know, I did not like it when Wilson Contreras left the Cubs. I wanted them to keep Wilson Contreras. When Jose Abreu left the White Sox and went to free agency, I think I understood that, but I still felt like if they had found a way to justify paying him, not necessarily $20 million per year, but keeping him, my point is, emotionally you become attached to guys who I think play the game the right way. Contreras does. Abreu does. For reasons you just articulated well. But I think that from a baseball perspective, I wonder if the White Sox felt at all. They don't have much to feel good about this season. But did this, looking at his lack of production, justify them letting him go despite the value he may have brought in terms of leadership and intangibles and everything that we know? Does his lack of production, you know, make them right from a baseball perspective? Because maybe he is done, and maybe he won't produce at a level that justifies his contract.
Yeah, I mean, they're great points, David, really. When you look at Abreu, he had 15 homers last year. That's basically half the production that you were used to, okay? That gave them the idea that, look, Vaughn was out of position. We have to get better defensively. We can be the equal there with Vaughn, if not better, at first base, getting more production out of him. And Jose was not the run producer he was before. So are we going to put $20 million a year on that, even though we love the guy? That's when you have to say, well, how do front offices talk themselves into and out of a leader when they're not as productive as they used to be? Okay. And then how does it shake out? Does it become an economic thing that pushes you over the top? Well, he's still a great leader. He's still a good player, but he's not worth $20 million anymore. And then right. you run into the details later on of, well, who is the leader on the Chicago White Sox?
They're still looking, I think. But it's not worth $20 million a year. You're right. And I think at the end of this homecoming week in Chicago, Wilson Contreras earlier with the Cardinals and Jose Abreu this weekend with the Astros, I think you got to check yourself when you want to let your heart outshout your head. And sometimes maybe it isn't the wisest thing to become sentimentally attached, and as we do in sports. And that's easy to do, easy to say, hard to avoid and resist. We'll talk about it more. But we got a big second hour. We have Drew Smyly coming up at 10, Dusty Baker at 10:30. Keep it right here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.